This is Between the Lines, WMUK's weekly look at books and writers. I'm Zinta Astars. For most of humanity's existence, we've seen ourselves as connected to the Earth and the universe around us. But during the scientific revolution in the 16th and 17th centuries, we began to see the world and nature as apart from us. In his new book, Restoring the Soul of the World, Our Living Bond with Nature's Intelligence, David Feidler writes about this disconnect as a threat to our existence. Feidler talks first about what defines the soul of the world and proof of nature's intelligence.
The idea of the world's soul, and actually the idea of soul in general, goes back to the ancient Greeks, and the word psyche comes from the Greek word psuche. It's the same word. And what psuche means is life, to be alive. And the way that the Greek philosophers looked at the world is that the world itself is continually in motion, which is a form of a living activity. And the other aspect of it is that nature is continuously engaged in pattern making activities. And when you create patterns and forms, that implies that there's some kind of strategy involved. And so the idea of soul and the world soul points to this idea that there's an active power in nature that's a form of intelligence. And we can see that in living organisms, for example. Basically, there was an ancient Greek philosopher that said that anything that is alive is intelligent. And we can see that, for example, like when we cut our hand, the hand knows how to heal itself. And if you cut off the head of a flatworm, it knows how to grow another head. And you can see this type of intelligence displayed, you know, throughout living things as well as other types of organisms in the natural world.
Elaborate, David, for us how the Greeks saw nature, your expertise is in philosophy, and how we came from how they saw nature to how we see it today with our more mechanistic worldview.
The Greeks saw nature as a unified phenomenon, really as a unified organism. And a lot of the Greek thought was, it really was summed up by Plato and Plato's idea of the world soul. And Plato said that the universe is a single living organism that contains all organisms within it. So basically, everything is interconnected and organically connected. And this was pretty much the normative worldview for hundreds of years in the Western world, and sometimes it would fade in and out a little bit. But basically, it was the normative worldview for hundreds of years, and it was only with the emergence of the mechanistic worldview in the time of the scientific revolution that changed. And the French philosopher René Descartes summed that up very well when he said that, "I have described this earth, and indeed this whole visible world, as a machine." So you can see how his perspective is quite different from Plato's perspective, where Plato said that the universe was a single living creature that contained all living creatures within it.
This is Between the Lines on WMUK. I'm Zinta Astars. I'm speaking with David Feidler, the author of Restoring the Soul of the World. Feidler is a native of Grand Rapids who now lives with his wife and son in the Bosnian capital, Sarajevo. Feidler says he discovered the stars while growing up in Michigan.
Ever since I was very young, I was always very interested by the stars. And then as I grew older, I had an interest in science, and that developed into an interest in philosophy. And then, of course, as I started to study the Greek philosophers, I learned that, you know, Socrates said that all philosophy begins in wonder. And you have this idea in Plato as well, that it's actually from the stars that we learn mathematics and science and philosophy, because we see the patterns of the celestial objects, and they're sort of like beating out different rhythms and patterns that teach us number. And so that's how mathematics arises. And As I grew older, I still maintained my interest in astronomy. And then when I was in my early 30s, I actually built an astronomical observatory outside of Grand Rapids at the farm I used to have. And before that, I used to go up north to Glen Arbor and take this really wonderful telescope that I had. So I use that as an example of how, in one way, technology can take us away from the natural world, but it can also allow us to appreciate and understand the natural world in a much deeper way, because everything that we know about the universe, all the significant knowledge that we have, really originated over the last 150 years. And it's an amazing experience to be able to look through a telescope at some, you know, galaxy or globular cluster that's literally millions and millions or even tens of millions of light years away and know what you're looking at. That's an experience that no earlier generation ever had access to.
Well, and you've also talked about how important it is for us to see ourselves as part of a larger whole.
Historically, and you can find people today, if you discuss it with them, they find this idea terrifying that we live in such a large universe. But in my experience, you know, knowing the story behind it and the fact that we live in a universe that is evolutionary and that even, you know, matter has a history and that we're an outgrowth of this, you know, entire cosmic pattern, which becomes more complex over time, it makes me feel like I'm part of a larger reality because it's something that we've all emerged from, as well as all of the other living systems in which we're embedded.
So how do ethics grow out of belonging to something larger than yourself?
I think that there's a intrinsic relationship between ethics and the sense of belonging to something that's larger than yourself, because if we were just isolated individuals who had no connection to anyone else, there would be no reason to be ethical at all. We could be as self-centered as we want. But there's this ancient idea that goes back to the Greek philosophers that the world in which we live is really a community. And the reason that we're in this community is because there's a sort of a common intelligence that unites things together. And in terms of human beings, that's the rationality that we all share, as well as, you know, the other, you know, aspects of our makeup. And it's because of that that there is a human community, and because of that spark of, you know, rationality, that's why we have this impulse, you know, to be rational beings, because we depend upon this community for our existence, and the community depends upon us. So when you look at it from that perspective, I think you can see that, you know, the idea of acting in an ethical way, it's not just some kind of artificial human construction, but it's actually rooted in, you know, a much deeper structure of living things themselves.
So is nature ethical? Patterns embody goodness?
One of the things that happened with the scientific revolution is that we ended up in this double truth universe where you have the world of facts on one hand and you have the world of values on the other hand. And so a lot of scientists try and keep those two realms entirely separate. But if you look at the forms in nature, they do actually reflect values. And the ancient Greeks had this idea of virtue or arete, which means something that possesses virtue works in the best possible way. So if you have like a good hammer, it's good for, you know, hammering nails. And if you have a structure in an organism, if you study the way that organisms work, they're actually, you know, designed or, you know, over great periods of time, they've learned how to embody excellence in their structure. And so living organisms work in good ways. They embody that value of goodness, and that also gives rise to beauty. So that's a different way of looking at the natural world. And I think that that is, you know, actually the most accurate way of looking at things. So this idea of the double truth universe, where you just have a world of facts and values that are totally disconnected from each other, I think that that's false.
I'm Zinta Astars. You've been listening to WMUK's Between the Lines, our weekly look at books and writers. I've been speaking with David Feideler, the author of Restoring the Soul of the World, Our Living Bond with Nature's Intelligence. Join us every Tuesday at this time for Between the Lines. Thanks for listening.